Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Football fans, who's ready to score some free bets? Now you can when you bet on any NFL game this week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1 on either team to score can win $100 in free bets. When a team scores, you score. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code KSN. Bet $1 on either team to score. You win $100 in free bets. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim Galante. He is T. Frank. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for Ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions or your questions about life in general. So if you want to submit a question, you can download our app from the App Store. Just search Keystone Sports or email us at info@ksnsports.net. At the end of the segment, we'll select best question. Winner gets the great KSN sweatshirt. Mr. T. Frank, are you ready to roll?
I am ready to go.
All right, let's start with Corey from Hanover, who says, T. Frank, want to say I love listening to both your post-game and Monday morning recap shows. The question I have is about the running game. I understand run blocking is not the strength of the offensive line, and they don't get a strong push consistently. However, when I'm watching, I'll notice many times it appears the line does their job and the back doesn't appear to see the hole or doesn't put their foot in the ground and hit the hole fast enough. Am I seeing things? And would you give someone like Kevon Lee more reps to help with him, allowing him to get more of a rhythm for the game?
I've gone back and forth about the last part, about whether a rhythm is important and what it actually means. Now, this is where I landed a couple weeks ago, that in this particular situation, let's take the Maryland game. Kevon Lee had 8 carries. He's going to mess up on one of them. Okay, so now you're down to 7. The offensive line is going to mess up on 2, maybe 3. Okay, so now you've got 4 opportunities to make a good play. And that's exactly what happened at Maryland. He made 2 or 3 really good plays where he found the hole and he hit the hole. Now, this game against Michigan, I thought he did a much better job, because Corey is right about it's not just the offensive line. It's the tight ends and the running backs as well. Talked to John Lovett after practice last week before the Michigan game, and I said, can you create space for the offense as well as a running back? He said, absolutely. Read your keys, press your hole, and then bounce to where it's supposed to be. Because how it works is you're reading the linebacker. And the linebacker has his gap, but sometimes in modern football, he also has to cover another gap. So he's supposed to read you, and where you go, he mirrors and matches. If you get him to guess wrong and you cut the other way, then you've made a good play. And Kevon Lee did a lot of that on Saturday. He did much more of that than he has all year, where he's doing that and he's actually doing it, not dancing and indecisive. He then hit the hole, made a guy miss, ran through some arm tackles, and got extra yards. And he got the majority of the carries. John Lovett was the starter technically, but he was the lead back on Saturday, and I think that should be the way going forward, because he's the only guy that's going to get them consistent yardage, because none of these guys can get them the explosive play. Just bottom line, none of them can do that this year.
Is there enough, have you seen so little from the running back rotation, Noah Kane and Lovett and Kevon Lee, that you would say, hey, how about one of the other two guys?
You mean the guys we haven't seen this year?
Yeah.
They're redshirting. So maybe at this point,
how about Devin Ford?
Isaiah Holmes. Well, Devin Ford played in that game. He did not get any snaps, but he was on the field for a couple of plays. I've mentally moved on from Devin Ford because I just don't think he's strong. Again, he's not strong enough to break tackles. If you were to get him a magical running lane where he can just be a track athlete, then yeah, he can run 40 yards faster than a lot of people on a football field. But he's 205 pounds at 5'11". Look at his lower body. Like, he doesn't have the leg strength to move the pile or to break arm tackles. He hasn't since his freshman year. And that hasn't changed. And I don't know if he's been injured or what's been going on as far as that part, but he hasn't physically progressed to fill out his frame. That's what you were... When you have a 4-star athlete or you have a high three-star or any of those things, that's part of the equation of what is their potential. Guys don't always live up to their potential. And I can promise you, it's not the strength and conditioning staff. What they do with players, and we've seen the consistent results of it, it's not that. There's another factor with some players where either they can't put on the weight the way you expected, or there's an off-season issue. I don't know what it is. The guy that I'd be looking at is Keziah Holmes, and they have decided this year he played early in the season, and he hasn't played since. So he's redshirting. Next year, he's a guy that has the frame, the size is already developed on him that Devin Ford hasn't been able to do, and he's got legitimate speed. So eventually he's going to factor into this equation, but either it's going to be the final game of the season in a bowl game, or the next two. But clearly they've decided this year is about personal growth for him, so he can be the lead back or be in the rotation next year when they need somebody who can, I don't know, run faster than 4.7.
Very good. Let's see, where do we go next? I actually stole some of Brad from Perkasie's Thunder, but I'll ask the question anyway. Why is John Lovett getting so much playing time? He really isn't running, catching, or blocking well. And he follows it up, why doesn't Ford get more of a look? You already answered that part. Give us the analysis of Lovett.
So Lovett had a bad game. So there's no way around that. But he has not had that game all season long. So he's a better, more mature, great vision sort of runner. But he doesn't have, again, if you give him space, he can then run. But he doesn't create a lot of space on his own. He avoids negative plays. And then when he gets into the secondary, he can make a guy miss and he can run. But he's fast, but not fast. And he's tough, but not strong. These are all things that have been on his tape since he was at Baylor. And he was in here to be a mature third down back sort of player, a guy that had speed if you gave him running lanes. And Penn State has not been able to give anybody running lanes. They knew they didn't have enough speed coming into the season. That was their response. And the way the offensive line blocks, it just hasn't worked. None of the pieces fit together well.
All right. Mike in State College says, why try a trick play on the 2-yard line on fourth down? Isn't it wiser either to take the points, three
points,
or use your starting offense to try to score, and if stopped, leave your opponent near the goal line?
Yes. The second part, sure. We can agree on that part. But taking the points is saying that Jordan Stout isn't going to miss a field goal from some weird situation. The dude is money from 50-plus, and he missed a 42-yard field goal. It's not a guarantee that a college kicker is going to make that field goal conversion. So saying take the points is an assumptive thing. I'm just going to start there. Now, it is a reasonable assumption, but it is still an assumption. So that's my pushback on take the points, because they tried to take the points later and it didn't work. But yeah, we talked about that in the first quarter. You've got to put a better option out there than the punter who tried to cut back. He tried to cut back on the defense. So also not a great plan.
Exactly. And I'll tell you this, though. I'll give credit to the Michigan defender. It wasn't a case where the play wasn't blocked on the outside. It was, and there appeared to be an opening initially. What happened was the Michigan player, probably on high alert for a fake, he was crashing towards the kicker as if to block the field goal, then reacted very quickly and went out and made a play. So actually, I thought the design of the play was pretty decent. Let's give some credit to the Michigan player.
Yes, it wasn't a bad play. Tyler Warren had it blocked up. All you had to do was run to the pylon. And even if you don't make it, just run to the pylon. I'm done talking about that play. We've covered it 1,000 times over 14 different channels on 9 different mediums, from video to audio to Twitter. Like, it's over. It's done. I'm done with it.
We as fans are not done complaining about it, T-Frank. All right.
All right. Next up, I understand.
We've got Stan from Franklin, Tennessee. He says, T-Frank, Coach Franklin is now 2-13 against the top 10 teams at Penn State. He's 7-16 against his prime division rivals, Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. He now coaches a Lion team that has no running game, a poor offensive line and tight end play, and no capable backup quarterback. How would you grade him as a major Power 5 coach? And by the way, I think Stan gave away what he thinks.
Yeah, fire Franklin, right? Fire Franklin. Fire Franklin. Good, go to USC. I'm not here to do that. That's not what I do. So if you want to, if you want to give all of those and don't give the fact that he, and people are tired of hearing about this, but literally dragged Penn State out of sanctions into a Big Ten championship early in his career. Did it happen early? Did he get it right with a lot of really great players? Yes. But he also got all those really great players and got the right people in the right situations to win 40 games in 4 years. So that's also a part of it. Is this a down moment? Yeah. Yes, it is. I think that there is even something to say that in close game situations and in those big games, James Franklin has not maximized every opportunity. I think that he has the right plans all the time as far as when to go for it, how to do things, but the execution of those things has not been great. And you can put that on Franklin. You can put that on the coaching staff. I'll agree with you there. But if you're saying get rid of James Franklin, he's a bum, you're ignoring 90% of the other things that are going on other than what you see happen on the football field. Ultimately, everything boils down to that, sure. But it's not just that. And what you think of game day management, of timeout usage, and all those things are such a small part of the large picture that you're missing everything else if you're just focusing on those things. And that's why I don't have a whole lot of time for this particular conversation, because it ignores most of that stuff.
And I think the other part to this, T. Frank, is I believe everything that Stan said here is true. First of all, his...
Well, it's factually true. Yeah.
Yeah, the facts on his record and the fact this year, no running game, poor offensive line, so on. And I do believe there's a lot of schools, if you have the 4-5 record and what might be 7-5 this year, the coach would be gone. But I think it's that kind of attitude where the coaches... in and out after 2 years or 3 years at Texas and Miami and Florida State and Florida is what's causing those teams to struggle. I actually think Penn State sticking with this guy is the right answer, and sticking with a coach is the right answer. All right, T. Frank, we need a winner.
So one last thing. I agree with Stan to a certain point, because you've got to, for James Franklin to say what he wants about where the program has to go, he's got to win to have Penn State put their money where his mouth is. We're going to go with Corey. I like that running back discussion. It's one of the few about the running game I've liked.
All right, Corey is our winner. We'll be getting in touch with you. That's it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four, we have Dustin Schutte in to talk all things Big Ten football. Stay tuned for that.
Who's ready to score some free bets? You can when you bet on any NFL game this week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1 on either team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.